chapter 5, 1 through 6. If you have your Bibles, turn there. If you have your phones and you don't have a Bible, go ahead and download the Bible app, and you can have about 300 Bibles at your disposal. And then you can turn to 1 John chapter 5, 1 through 6. Everyone who is the title of our sermon today. That is the first two words in 1 John 5, 1 from the New International Version. I've been thinking about that phrase, those two words, everyone who, this week. Everyone who, and it describes a group of people. And being a part of that group, what it entails, what you will become, and who you are. We're going to play a little game here, everyone who. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. Everyone who is from Michigan will get used to the snow and enjoy the summer. Whether you want to or not, you will. You say, I'm not used to the snow. Well, if you bring some of my family up here from South Carolina and a bad winter, they're not used to it at all, and they're ready to get out of here. So everyone who is from Michigan will get used to the snow and enjoy the summer. And everyone who is from Michigan is a Michigander. If you're from Michigan, you are a Michigander. That's your identity. So I'm going to play this game here. I come up with some categories here. So I'm going to say will and is, and you see if you can come up with some answers to the questions. If you don't come up with any answers, I'll move on and say that was a bad idea. So we'll see. Everyone who is married will fight. Oh, no. Maybe this was a bad idea. That does happen. It does happen. That's true. Everyone who is married is blessed. All right, I'll go with that. Sometimes they're even blessed when they're fighting. That's what it is. Everyone who goes to school will. Oh, miserable. Look, I'm not a priest. This is not confession time, all right? We'll learn or we'll be miserable. That's okay. Everyone who goes to school is a child. I was thinking is a student. Yeah. Whether you want to be or not, right? You can be a good student or a bad student, but you're still a student. Everyone who plays games, either sports games or card games, or you're on a track team or whatever it is, everyone who plays games will lose and will win. Yes, that is true. You will lose and you will win. Everyone who plays games is a player. There you go. I can't argue with that. Everyone who likes to read will fall asleep. All right. Is that true, Katie? No. Everyone who likes to read is boring. I'll go with intelligent. Everyone who likes to hunt will will kill or will go hungry. Yeah. Everyone who likes to hunt is, there you go, is a hunter. What was that? Frozen, yeah, it can be. Unless you're hunting turkeys next week, and then hopefully you get one. Everyone who drives will... No. I got to talk to your mother after the service today, all right? Everyone who drives is a driver. All right. So now you got the idea. So John is going to talk to the church and tell them who they is. And because of who they is, he's going to tell them what they will be or will become. 1 John 5, 1 through 6. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, is a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water alone, only but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Heavenly Father, tell us who we are today. Tell us who we will become. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number one in your bulletins. Everyone who believes Jesus is God's Messiah and Son is a child of God. Everyone who believes Jesus is God's Messiah or Christ and Son is a child of God. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Son of God, then you are a child of God. You are born of God. The community that John was writing was facing a crisis. They had former members that had left the church, that had left the community, and they were denying that Jesus truly was the Son of God, that Jesus truly was the Messiah come in the flesh, that he was not God's flesh and blood, fully human Son. They were having a doctrinal conflict, and that can leave churches confused and angry and unsure of what to do. So John is writing this letter of 1 John to these people in part to tell them, you know who you are, you know whose you are, and you know what you have been taught from the very beginning. And he says, you don't even have to take my word for it. The Spirit of God is in your midst, and the Spirit of God testifies to this, because the Spirit of God is the truth. So if you believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that he's come in the flesh, if you believe that, you are a child of God. You are born of God. So there's no need to panic, and there's no need to argue when someone says that Christian stuff is not real, that Jesus stuff is not real, you're believing a lie, you've been fooled by this. There's no need to panic. Just focus on living your faith. God has the whole situation under control. John is reminding the community that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed Son of God, has been born of God and is a child of God. And that's who you are. If you believe this, you is a child of God. You have no reason to be afraid. You belong to God. Every person here, if you believe this, no matter if you're 80 years old or 12 years old or 5 years old or 4 years old, if you believe this, you are a child of God. And as God's child, you can rest assured, knowing that you are loved and protected by our divine Father, our divine parent. So I'm a part of this, everyone who. I believe this. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that he is the Son of God. And I believe that I is a child of God. Number two. Everyone who loves God will love God's children. Everyone who loves God will love God's children. So you are a child of God. That's who you is. So now you got to act out that character of being a child of God. These are the things that you will be, and that God is sanctifying you and you are becoming. If we love God, naturally we will love anyone born of God as well. How can you love a parent without loving their child? You could tell me that you love me all day long, but if you abuse my daughter or mistreat her or mistreat my daughter Elizabeth, I don't want to hear it. You can't mistreat my daughter and then say you love me, care about me. You get on my fighting side. You mistreat my daughter. You say something bad about her. John refused to separate belief in Jesus and love for one another. At the end of chapter 4, there were no chapters and verses in the original scripture. So just three verses apart in John chapter 4, 20 through 21, he said one could identify love for God by whether or not there was love for one another. And then just a few sentences later, the equation is turned around. One loves God's children by loving God and keeping his commands. So is John just writing in circles? No, he's not. He's saying that the love for God and the love for God's children are deeply connected and cannot be separated. One love cannot exist without the other. Whoever loves the parent loves not just the parent, but the child and all their children. And the consequences of this are enormous. It just means that everyone that believes that Jesus is the Messiah is connected to Jesus, is linked to Jesus personally. That means every injustice done to the child of God echoes the injustice done to our older brother, Jesus. Every act of violence committed against the child of God recalls the violence committed against Jesus. Saul on the road to Damascus, he was persecuting the Christians, he was persecuting the brothers, and Jesus appears before him and he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Me. "Well, I'm not persecuting you. I'm persecuting the Christians." Well, Jesus says, if you're persecuting my brothers and sisters, the ones that I've called a child of God because they believed in me, my father's called a child of God because they believed in me, then you're persecuting me. At Betty Simpson's naturalization ceremony a few weeks ago, when she was sworn in as a U.S. citizen, we got to meet the judge that swore her in, the federal judge, Judge Bell. And he was a nice guy. He's a little bit kooky. I like that. Wasn't he? Yeah. And I got to talk to him a minute. I asked him what president assigned him to be federal judge. And he told me it was Ronald Reagan. Some of your faces just smiled, Ronald Reagan. Anyway. So I talked to him. And I told him I was a pastor. And I was getting along with him really good and having a good time talking to him. And he said, "Oh, you're a pastor. You might have heard of my son. His name's Rob. Rob Bell." I said, "Oh, yeah, I've heard of him." Everybody lives in Grand Rapids heard of Rob Bell. If you're a Christian, you know. I didn't really get out in all the controversy about Rob Bell. But I knew pastors that just eviscerated him. I mean, and I'm not saying you have to agree with everything Rob Bell says. But then Rob Bell, he's friends with Oprah. And I see some of you just get mad when I mention her name. Ronald Reagan, yay, Oprah. How can I say I like Judge Bell and then look at his face and tell him, I hate your son. Everything he stands for is against Christ. You know what Judge Bell's going to tell me? I have a lot of power here. I'm going to throw you in jail. No, he might not do that. Can't love say you love the father if you hate the child. We can't say we're Christ followers if we hate the people who follow Christ, the ones who differ with us, the ones who like Ronald Reagan and the ones who like Oprah Winfrey. That's good stuff. I don't care what you say. Everyone who loves the everyone who believes in Jesus as Christ will love the Father who sent him, and everyone who loves the Father of Jesus will also love all of God's other children. Everyone who, I'm a part of that group. Number three, everyone who loves God will keep God's commands. Everyone who loves God will keep God's commands. So you know who you are. You're a child of God. So now you got to keep God's commands. You will do that. You'll grow into that. The Holy Spirit will lead you into that. 1 John 5, John is echoing the conversation that Jesus had with his disciples on the night before he went to the cross, back in John chapter 14 and 15. Back in John 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus said to his disciples. And then in verse 21, Jesus says, they who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. So what are God's commands? Some think it could be the Torah, the law, the Ten Commandments. But there's no focus on the law in 1 John. In fact, the word law never appears. The word Ten Commandments never appears. So what are the commands of God? What do you have to... You will keep my commands. What are the commands? Well, John's already told us back in 1 John 3, verse 23. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. So that's what John says the commands are, to believe in Jesus Christ and to love one another. That echoes John 15, 14. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So it's two things. It's not simply to believe in God. I believe in God. But you have to believe in God as revealed through Jesus Christ. Does my belief in God look like Jesus? I believe this about God. Well, you have to ask yourself, does that belief look like Jesus? And if it doesn't look like Jesus, I need to go back and sit with God one more time. I need to study some more, research some more, because I've got my beliefs confused. It has to look like Jesus. And the second command, love one another as I have loved you. And this particularly happens within the community called the church. Informed by faith and empowered by the Spirit, where love can be learned and lived. I hear it all the time. I believe in God. I believe in God. I go to hospitals or funerals or things of that nature, and someone always, well, I believe in God. That's good. You know who you is. But your will is not being formed. The person you're supposed to be is not being formed. You will never learn to love outside of God's community called the church. Because the church is supposed to be a place of people that are not like each other. And you learn how to live these things out. And the thing that brings us together is one thing, the blood of Christ, who Jesus is. So now all these different people can come together under one banner, Jesus Christ, and learn how to live and love with people who are nothing like us. Those are God's two commands. And his commands are not burdensome. Jesus will over and over again denounce any kind of command that is burdensome. He denounces the religious leaders for loading people down with heavy burdens, hard to bear, in Matthew 23. And he'll contrast that in Matthew 11. He'll say, "Everyone, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So like Jesus, John insists that God's commands are not difficult. In essence, the commands are, they consist of the call to love God as revealed in Jesus, not just in word or speech, but in truth and action, and to love our neighbor as ourself. So genuine faith is firmly connected with this active love of God through Jesus and neighbor. I'm part of that group. I'm one of the everyone who there. Number four, everyone who has true faith will believe that Jesus came through water and blood. Everyone who has true faith will believe that Jesus came through water and blood. Say, that's kind of weird. I don't even know what that means. Well, John put it in there, and it is kind of a strange statement to make, and biblical scholars have argued about the precise meaning. I'll give you some suggested meanings of water and blood. Some scholars suggest that it is the water and the blood that came out of Jesus' pierced side at his crucifixion in John chapter 19. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, the soldier came by with a spear in hand and pierced Jesus' side, and it said water and blood flowed from his side. Other scholars see the water as the water that Jesus was baptized in when he fully connected with humanity in our sin and suffering. And the blood, again, is the blood that flowed from Jesus during his crucifixion. Other scholars say that the water and the blood encompass the whole life of Jesus, from the breaking of his mother's water at birth to his bloody death. And that's the one that I lean towards, the one that I think. I have to believe that Jesus is the Messiah through water, through birth, through incarnation. And if you say that's weird, I don't really like those words, how about this? Merry Christmas. I like that. And I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, through blood, through death, through burial, through resurrection. And if you don't like that and you say that's kind of weird, how about this? Happy Easter. That's the main message of the cross, the main message of the gospel. Merry Christmas, Happy Easter. And there's other things, and I don't mean to boil it down to just that, but those are some good, if we can connect with those, they transform our lives. Whatever the precise meaning of John has for this phrase, the basic point is clear. Jesus didn't simply appear to be human. He was truly flesh and blood. There are times in the gospel where Jesus just seems like he's so holy that he's got one foot in heaven. He's just doing miracles and all these great things. But John does not want us to be deceived, thinking that Jesus was just masquerading as a human being. He insists that the Word became flesh by water and blood. And if we deny that Jesus is fully human, John has a word for that. He says that anyone that denies that God became flesh, became just like us, you know what he calls that? Antichrist. You picture the Antichrist as some, you know, some movie. You know, he's some weird Russian guy with a weird European accent going, and then acting all crazy. That's not what John says. John says anyone who denies that Jesus come in the flesh is Antichrist. He keeps insisting that the Word became flesh. The fact that he is God's son did not mean that Jesus somehow escaped the full consequences of being human. And everyone needs to know this. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you're going through. Through the water, through the blood, through Merry Christmas, Happy Easter. He understands you. He understands your family dynamic. He understands your school dynamic. He understands when you're hurting. He understands everything about you because he came through the water and the blood. He shared the whole human experience. John insists this is the heart of our faith. And I'm part of that group. I'm one of the everyone who believes this. And number five, still with me? Everyone who has faith in Christ will overcome the broken world. I put the word broken in there because John, in his writings, will use the word world. Sometimes he'll use it on as a good thing, for God so loved the world, his good creation, his good cosmos. And sometimes he'll use it to mean something broken, something evil, something that harms us. And I want you to understand that there is a difference. I don't want you to hate the things. Many times we as Christians go, we just hate the world and hate the things of the world. And when we do that, we're hating God's good creation. So I don't want you to hate the world, God's good creation. But at the same time, I don't want us to fear or run away from the world that we are called to overcome. The broken world, the evil world, the world that comes against us, the world that brings pain, unbearable pain. How do we overcome this broken world? Faith. Faith in who Jesus is the victory over the world. Not because believers wield the world's power in a superior way, but because faith means confessing the Son of God is Jesus Christ and loving God's children. That is our faith, and that's what overcomes the world. Because if we don't do these two things, if that does not consist of our faith, we're falling into the very hands of the evil one that we're supposed to be overcoming, John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Victory over the world does not require spiritual heroics. You don't have to be some super Christian at school, and you know, you can carry your Bible around, but you don't have to have the biggest Bible and say, I'm a Christian, and I'm going to... And it doesn't mean you have to lay down your life. You may. It doesn't seem like we will in the United States, but people around the world will. But you don't have to be this heroic, super Christian. Instead, the victory is found through faith in what Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Nothing else is needed, and becoming everyone who believes that. Becoming who we are supposed to be, who he is, and who he wills us to be. The Christian faith conquers the world, not by military might, not by doctrinal arguments, not by coercion, not by ballot boxes, not by bullets, but by faith. Our faith overcomes the world. Our faith in the Son of God who died upon the cross, who came into this world through water and blood, that will overturn any vision of what we think victory is. He defeated the world by connecting with it and by submitting his life and dying upon a cross for it. That's the victory. In the cross, and the resurrection of Jesus, God's love has been revealed. And God's love has overcome all possible opposition. The deadly decisions and judgments of the world have been overturned once and for all. And I'm a part of the everyone who believes this, who believes in Jesus, who loves one another, and we're joining him. Live for Jesus this week. You have your Living for Jesus forms in your bulletin there. If you believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, confess this week that you are a child of God. That should just be your confession this week. Every person here, confess this week. You confess it to your family, to your friends, to yourself through prayer. You don't have to go up to strangers. They'll think you're kind of weird unless the Lord leads you that direction. But just confess, I am a child of God because I have believed this. Number two, meditate on John 15:14 this week. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And number three, this week, be empowered by the message of the incarnation, Merry Christmas, and the resurrection, Happy Easter, to help you overcome the things that are harming you. Instead of all the other things that we try, I'm not telling you to stop trying those things that help you, but instead of just running to doctors and medication and to the bottle and to habits and to worry, I'm not telling you to stop anything that you need, but instead of just focusing on those things, how about we focus on the incarnation and the resurrection? That is our faith. And that's what overcomes the world. Pray with me today. Nobody looking around, everyone praying this. If you are not a Christ follower, you are not a Christian. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Would you like to believe that Jesus is the Christ today? Nobody looking around. If you would like to believe Jesus is the Christ, you just confess that today. You say, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus is the Christ. And as you begin to pray that, confess that, believe that, you are born of God. You are a child of God. Would you just pray that today? Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are the Lord. You are King of Kings. You are President of Presidents. You are Prime Minister of Prime Ministers. And I believe I'm a child of God. Would you just confess that this morning? If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, would you just confess? Would you just whisper this morning, I am a child of God. And that's who we are. And Lord, you would will that everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well, loves your children as well. So Lord, we love your children. We love the people that you put in our life. Lord, we keep your commands to trust in Jesus and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, we don't believe this is burdensome. We don't believe this is a heavy command. And we believe through this we'll overcome any problem we face. This is our faith. This is the victory. Jesus is the Son of God. We love as you loved. This is our faith. We believe you came in the flesh and blood. Merry Christmas, Happy Easter. Spirit of God, would you testify to these things today? Not just my words, but the things that I've spoken, but let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts today. Testify, because you are the truth. Testify to us today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If there's something in your life that you can't get past, that's harming you, it's harming your relationships, harming your family, if you need the victory today and you'd like for us to pray with you, as we all stand, if you need victory this morning, you'd like for us to pray for victory for you, your faith to increase, would you come and I'll pray with you. Well, let's all stand and let's begin to worship the Lord in song. Come and we'll receive the victory today. If you need prayer, would you come? Thank you, Jesus. Too slow, isn't it? Yeah, we're going to kick it. Kick it one time.
Oh, victory!
The victory. Thank you, Lord, for the faith that you've given us, the faith that we have walked in, been led in by your Holy Spirit. The faith in Jesus that brings us victory. And we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that testifies to the truth. Now, Lord, just bless your people. Bless every person here. Make your face shine upon every person here. Be gracious to every person here and give every person here peace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.